The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, June the 24th. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with legendary Sprint Car Hall of Famer Fred Raymer about his promotional duties coming up at Path Valley for Round 3 of the Pennsylvania Sprint Car Speed Week. We'll also catch up with longtime Central Pennsylvania Sprint Car campaigner Lance DeWeese, and we'll head down under to find out what's happening in the World Series of Sprint Cars with race director Shane Collins. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, it is that time of year again. Pennsylvania Sprint Car Speed Weeks is upon us, and for the first time in 23 years, my next guest is not competing, but he'll still be at Speed Weeks with his sons Freddie and Brandon Raymer, and he'll be promoting the race, the third race of the nine-race event on a Sunday at Path Valley Speedway. We bring in the Hall of Famer, Fast Freddie Raymer. Fred, always a pleasure to talk with you. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Fred, before we get into talking about Sunday's Path Valley race, I just want to go back for just 1 minute and get your thoughts. I was there at the season-opening icebreaker, which was several times postponed by Mother Nature, at Lincoln Speedway, and there you are sitting in the cab of the truck to drive the truck across the road and into the pits and hauling the cars for your two boys. What was that day like for you as a former racer and now a car owner and bringing your two kids into the racetrack where you had such great success?
Well, to be honest with you, it's a lot easier and a lot less nerve-wracking to drive yourself rather than worry about your kids on the track, but everything's going pretty good. I mean, I was ready to be done, and I did my final year there just to prove a point, and don't really miss the driving. I still enjoy being at the races, and pretty nervous, though, with my boys out there, to be honest with you.
How much more nervous are you with the boys out there on track, even though you know the talent and the drivers that they are around each night?
Well, I mean, it's anything can happen in sprint car racing. It happens fast. And, you know, when you're just starting out, the odds of something happening are greater than when you're more experienced, within reason. And so quite a bit. I mean, the only thing I was ever nervous about when I went to the races was not running well. You know what I mean? Now I got to be worried that something, you know, happens, or, you know, one of them bad things. So who knows?
The boys have obviously picked up on it quite well. Freddie right now in eighth at Lincoln in the points. Where they're at right now, Fred, is this what you expected from your two sons, or is it more than what you expected?
Well, that's more than what I expected. I mean, they adapted, you know, pretty quickly, and they're in well-prepared race cars, you know, and they do all the work on the cars themselves. But, you know, Moon's got the cars working pretty good, which makes it easier to learn. You're not learning the car and how to drive at the same time, so they're doing better than I expected, and, you know, I keep a pretty tight rein on them, and, you know, because we can't afford to be fixing the things all the time. So, you know, we'll just take one day at a time, and hopefully they'll keep progressing.
You've also teamed up with one of the all-time greats, not only in Pennsylvania, but also on the Outlaw Tour, and Stevie Smith. Of course, it was his dad, Steve Sr., that you broke his all-time track record at Lincoln. what's the year been like with you and Stevie, it's starting off with that big win over the Outlaws?
Again, I mean, I knew Stevie, you know, to be a really good driver, and I knew he was a logical choice for us. But actually there, again, we're doing better. I mean, I knew Moon and him had history and had run good together before. So, you know, we've been fortunate to this point and hopefully continue to. I mean, he's a very talented driver and a really good guy to be around. So hopefully we'll keep things going.
So coming up on Sunday night, Path Valley Speedway, one of the smaller tracks here in central Pennsylvania, you'll be one of the promoters at the race. It's the third leg of the 2014 Pennsylvania Sprint Car Speed Weeks. What brought about this idea to be a race promoter for this night?
Well, you know, obviously, like everything else you do for the first time when you start out, get an education in a hurry, and it's a lot more work than I anticipated. You know, hopefully, my main concern is that everybody leaves happy. You know, the competitors and the fans. I truly want to make money at promoting races and want to do more next year if I can, you know, if everything goes okay. But we've done everything we can to try and, you know, provide put on the best show we can here. I think the track is going to be great racing. I truly believe it could be one of the more fun races to watch of all Speed Week. So it'll be interesting. But definitely more work than I thought, which is fine. I'm not afraid of work. Again, the nervous part is that, you know, there's so many things to look at, and I'm sure I'm going to overlook something, and hopefully people overlook that and just say, hey, he did the best he could, and we had a really good show. I think we've covered all the bases, got extra stands and extra restrooms and all that stuff, so hopefully we can get people in and out of there and make them all happy and hopefully provide a really good race.
I understand you're doing some extra incentives for the drivers as well.
Oh, yeah, we got $1,000 for quick time. Each heat will pay $500 to win, but I'm trying to get the guys to run a little harder. So rather than just drive around and transfer it into the A, to win the $500, you got to win anywhere but off the front row. For the first and second, if you start in first and second place, the most you can win in the heat is $200. That's what it's going to be. It's $200 to win the heat off the front row. Any other spot from third back is $500. If nobody wins but off the front row, I'm going to take that extra. I'm figuring on four heats. The extra $1,200 that's not used, I'm going to put into the non-qualifiers race, which is guaranteed to pay $500, and that'll make that thing $1,700 to win. So somebody's going to have a good night that don't even make the show.
That's very interesting, and it's very great to hear. And as a former driver, do you think tracks need to take a look at some of the things you're doing and do more incentives for the drivers these days?
Well, I can't speak for the other tracks. What I'm doing is for the fans. Mm-hmm. I'm putting a prod up the drivers' butts to get them moving to create better racing. I'm also I'm going to give away six right rear tires that the fans are going to get raffle tickets as they come through the gate, and we'll do a drawing. Six people will get to give a right rear tire to their favorite driver or the guy they think needs it the most, and they'll be the sponsor for that night of that car. And if that guy ends up winning, they're going to get their picture on the front stretch and just be a little bit more involved than just a regular average show for them.
I think that's some of the things that are missing these days, not only just throughout Pennsylvania, but throughout all of racing, getting the fans more and more involved. We saw that many years ago when the defunct National Sprint Tour was coming around, and they had the kids coming out on the front stretch and doing the draw for the A main. So that's great to hear for that you're looking at not only getting the drivers to get up on the wheel a little bit more, but also taking care of the fans. For information, other things the fans need to know, where can they go and find out everything?
You can go on the Path Valley website, and, you know, we're giving away, the first 100 people there are going to get a free T-shirt. We got more giveaways that are going to be given out through the course of the night. We got shirts from some outlaw teams. Brent Kading gave me quite a few shirts, and that'll be a nice item for somebody to get. And, you know, all you're going to have to do is show up, basically. You'll get your ticket, and if they draw your number, it's good. We're doing a 50-50, and part of the thing is going to go to the Eastern Motorsports Museum. Part of that is going to that. So, you know, it should be interesting. It's going to be a lot, and I hope we do a good job, and I hope everybody leaves happy. But it'll be our best effort. You can count on that.
Well, I know fans will have always counted on you giving your best every night that you had strapped yourself into a sprint car. You said before you really don't miss it, but do you miss something like this Speed Weeks where you were such a dominant force in the last 23 years? Do you miss this time of the year?
Well, I always enjoyed this. I thought to win the Speed Week, you had to be versatile and be able to run good at all the tracks. And we were always very fortunate and well-prepared going into it, you know. I've got my boys are going to run the Lincoln show, and they're going to run at Grandview near my house. And then I'm going to have Stevie run Hagerstown, Port, Williams Grove, and Port. So they're going to have plenty. I'll be at Speed Week plenty, to tell you the truth. So we won't have too much time to feel sorry for ourselves, that's for sure.
Always spoken like a true champion. Fred Raymer, thanks so much for joining us and letting us know a little bit about your promotion on Sunday. We wish you all the best of luck, and we look forward to seeing you throughout the 2014 Pennsylvania Sprint Car Speed Week.
Well, I appreciate that. And I got Danny Dietrich. He's cocking off how he's going to commit to take my money after beating my old butt when he was racing. He said it's going to be more fun to take my money. So somebody, if they beat him and he runs second, is going to get an extra couple $100 or a right rear tire from me. So we'll see if he's not too tired after Ohio Speed Week to come in and live up to what he's mouthing off about.
Yes, Mr. Dietrich likes to take to the social media, and he definitely likes to tell it like it is. But then again, you always like to tell it like it is as well. So
in all honesty, you can't hate a guy for having confidence. You know what I mean?
That's
the
true.
Only thing is when you do that, you box yourself in that you better step up and perform. So hopefully the people will come out and see him either succeed or fail, whichever it turns out to be. It'll be up to him. So we'll see.
It will definitely be a great storyline come Sunday night. Fred, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We look forward to having you back again in the near future.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Sprint Car Hall of Famer Fred Raymer joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more right after this. With 30 years experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit KinzerDirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA. Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, it is that time of the year once again. The 24th annual Pennsylvania Sprint Car Speed Week kicks off on Friday evening at Williams Grove Speedway, and it wraps up on July the 6th at Sewins Grove Speedway with the Jan Opperman Memorial. We bring in a guy right now who has 19 career wins in his illustrious Speed Week travels. Lance DeWeese joins us here on the Sprint Car Show. Lance, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Well, I always appreciate Sean being on the show.
Lance, new team, one win so far this year. You guys really haven't had, I guess, the year you'd like to have, if that would be the right thing to say, or you're still trying to get used to Scott Dietz and the entire Dietz Motorsports. Tell us a little bit about how your feelings are as to the almost halfway point of the year with this new team and where you thought you might be and where you are actually at.
Well, I think we're all right right now. Our racing in general right now, it's all about starting spots. But in the last month, we've had some pretty good speed in our race cars. We're passing race cars. And we're timing better. So overall, I'm pretty pleased with where we're at. We need to get a little bit better in some areas yet. But we're really close, I think, right now. We're not bad at all at Williams Grove. We got speed in the car. Lincoln, we're okay. We're not evil, but we're not great. But then again, everybody's kind of got the same feelings with their stuff right now. Starting spots mean everything so much right now this year, seems like so. We've been passing a lot of race cars in the last month. So if I'm passing race cars, I'm happy. That means we got a good handling race car and a pretty good fast race car. So we're timing a lot better than what we did beginning of the year. So all in all, I'm kind of looking forward to the Speed Week. There's a couple little things that we're working on this week that I'm hoping it'll have a little bit better on certain types of racetracks, so we'll just have to wait and see.
What is, if you have one, a favorite part of Speed Week for yourself?
It's fun to race, you know, 9 races in 10 days, whatever it is now, at, you know, basically an hour from Harrisburg. You know, I mean, you know, the farthest racetrack from me is Grandview, and that's roughly 2-2.5 hours from me, personally. But, you know, I mean, we can do a lot of racing in a short area, you know, and it's just a fun week. It's been a great week for everybody involved. It's a great, great week for us racers. It's a great week for the promoters, and it's a great week for the fans. You know, it's always been pretty successful for everybody that's involved.
What is the most non-pleasant part of Speed Week for a driver?
Rainouts and late nights.
Well said.
Rainouts are not bad if we don't go.
Right.
But we're drugged to the track and we're kept there at the track, or we run hot laps and or run at hot laps in time trials and a heat race or something like that, that you still waste your whole night. You still got work to do in the car for the next race the next day. And you're still late night getting, you know, back. So, yeah, the rain really messes with people. You know, people think, you know, it's no big deal, rain out. Well, for the racers, it's a huge deal, because if we're at the racetrack, we're wasting the whole day and night anyhow to turn around and, you know, do work, you know, that we, if they would have canceled early enough or it would have rained early enough, you know, that it just makes life a little easier, especially when you're running 9 out of 10 days.
How far in advance do you guys actually start prepping extra material for Speed Week?
Well, that's the only thing with the new team. We're not as prepared as we need to be in some ways.
If you went back to what you had in the past, generally, how...
Generally, we have our motor programs situated and in place that we know when Speed Week comes around, our stuff's fresh. We kind of plan, basically, you almost plan out the whole year with mm-hmm. your motor programs to know when they're going to go back and get fresh, which motor you're going to run where, and make sure they're fresh at the right time for the big shows, like even the Outlaw shows, Speed Week. You know, you have to plan all that out. Well, you know, we're a little behind in that area, so that you know, we're okay for Speed Week, but, you know, it's just an area that we're you know, it takes a year or so to get built up and get right.
You finished 5th last year in the final point standings, and we did have, speaking of rain, 2 rainouts, Grandview, and then unfortunately, Zealand's Grove. Realistically, what do you think the team could achieve in its first year together in this 24th annual Speed Weeks?
Oh, we can win it. That's not even a doubt about that. We can win it. We're just as capable as anybody to win the deal right now. The whole Speed Week deal is you have to time good, you have to get good draws, go your way for time trials, because they mean a lot. And so, you know, and you race good, and, you know, hopefully, I mean, even last year we finished 5th, but we felt like we could have won three races there pretty easily if we had got the draws go our way, that we had a good enough race cars to win the races. One was Hagerstown, one was Big Diamond. I can't think the other one where we were at that we were really good. But, you know, you don't, it still comes down to starting spots lots of times, because, you know, you start 5th, the 4 cars in front of you are very good race cars. So it still comes down to, you know, timing right, timing good, and getting in the right positions to, you know, to be able to make the inversion, and hopefully, you know, you catch a good redraw every once in a while.
And this year, Big Diamond not on the schedule, but Path Valley is, and that show is being promoted by Fred Raymer. What has this year been like with the retirement of Fred Raymer and also the man from Mifflintown, Keith Kaufman? How different does it seem not to have those two legendary drivers competing with you guys out on the track?
Well, Keith's a little different, because he's kind of just been on a limited schedule for the last couple of years anyhow, just at Port Royal. So, and we haven't raced Port Royal a whole lot. You know, Fred's a little different, that I still get to see him, but then I'm kind of the senior at the tracks now, me and Donnie Kreitz. So, you know, I'm kind of the odd man out in some ways compared to, you know, everybody else that we race against now. And but you know, Fred still stops up and sees me almost every night that we're around. Yeah, he's still involved in the sport very, you know, very heavily with, you know, his boys and with the car for Steve Smith, and with him promoting Path Valley, which I think he's got some really good things going on there that hopefully, you know, it works out for him and, you know, he can do more good things.
I'm not sure if I saw that one coming. I mean, for what Fred did, and I know how much he wanted his to be there for the boys and for all their success and enjoy what, let them enjoy what he enjoyed over the years. I guess I just never saw the promoter side and him coming out, so it's going to be, I think, a very fun and exciting night at Path Valley, which is stop number 3 on this 24th Annual Pennsylvania Sprint Car Speed Week. We're talking with Lance DeWeese out of Fayetteville, a longtime sprint car driver here in central Pennsylvania. Lance, the landscape in here in Pennsylvania is changing somewhat, as you know, 360 sprint cars at Sewins Grove, and it seems as though drivers today are not staying put at one particular racetrack and chasing after points in a championship, but they're traveling more and more to run as many races as you can. Is there any time frame that you can look back maybe a few years ago, 5 years ago, when you started noticing how things were changing in and around the landscape in the sprint car capital of the world?
Some of us have always done that. I mean, we've worried about, especially on Saturday nights, we've worried about just racing where the money's at and not worrying about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the Saturday night point deals are not that great. You know, I'm not sure what they pay anymore, but they're around $5,000 or $6,000 to win point funds at both Fort Roll or Lincoln. Well, you know, if I win an all-star show at one of those two places, that's $5,000. You know what I mean? So why would you miss one of the better paying local shows, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
that we have? So, you know, we both did choose on Saturday nights. It's been a long time since I've worried about a Saturday night deal. And the Grove still pays pretty good point funds, so it's kind of a little bit worth it. But, you know, you still have to give up some races, you know, to get yourself in the hunt. But the thing about the Grove is how their point structure is, it rewards the guys for being fast. It just don't reward a guy for being basically, you know, a consistent car in there at all the races. Their tracks, how the point systems are, basically if you drop out, you're in trouble because you can't make points up. They had the point breakdown so close it just benefits somebody that's there every week and don't have their problems. And you don't really have to win races to win. So, but like I said, it's more of a financial end. And I think other, you know, people are starting to see that in the handicap system, you know, up to the last couple of years when they changed it some, penalized you so bad that it wasn't even worth you worrying about it no more. You know what I mean? You were better off going to race wherever, you know what I mean? And, you know, some tracks have gone away from the handicap system. You know, Fort Roll's been very good at, you know, doing away with it and trying to come up with other solutions to please all the racers. And, you know, Lincoln and the Grove both changed their handicap systems to help the racers, you know, everybody involved. Because you just, you know, nowadays you just can't start, you know, 10th in the heat and run top three. It just don't happen. So it's, you know, they had to do different things. You know, nowadays it's not too bad because really 50% of our shows at the Grove are time trial shows now. So, you know, we don't. You know, all the tracks do a better job at running more time trial shows, you know, which is a little bit fairer for everybody involved. You know, so, you know, it's just, you know, the economy, you know, really hurt our racing in here some, but it really took the toll on 358 racing to me, it seems like. So, you know, hopefully, you know, that'll come back or, you know, they'll do something different and, you know, get where guys can still race. You know, the 410 racing is kind of just leveled out the last couple of years.
And I think that's the biggest question right now in central Pennsylvania. It's been written about is what happens to the 358s? Was the right decision by Sewins Grove to go 360? And how do you entice people to move up into the 410 ranks eventually? Because last Friday night, that's probably the smallest crowd on a Friday night I've seen in many, many years at the Grove, and it also seemed really empty in the pits. I know some guys were out at Speed Weeks. you've been around the sport. You're a great ambassador for the sport. Do you have any suggestions or any thoughts that can be done to help bolster sprint car racing, whether it's the 358s or 360s up to eventually the 410s, that would entice drivers to want to make it up to that premier level and run with you guys on a regular basis, say at Williams Grove or Port Royal or Lincoln on Friday and Saturday nights?
Well, actually, that's already happening with the 358 class. You have guys like the 52 of Austin Hogue. A couple of guys at Lincoln showed up that used to run 358s or run 410s, and realistically, the 358s and the 360 class has gotten so expensive with the engines. Them guys are almost better off buying good used 410s and racing for more money. Now, you know, I understand Sills Grove's purse is actually a pretty decent purse, but, you know, when you make a change like that, it's going to take some time. You know, you're going to make some people happy, you're going to piss some people off. So it takes some time to, you know, see how it all plays out. I mean, to me, the 358 deal is just kind of got out of hand with the pricing of everything and, you know, what it costs to run one and what they get paid. So it was kind of supposed to be like a starter class for, you know, people that want to go sprint car racing, you know, more like a hobby field or a stepper class. Well, now kind of the 305s took that over. So, I mean, I could see the day where there's no 358s locally. I just see them going by the wayside. I don't know if it would end up being 360s or it would just end up being, you know, 305s, maybe 360s at Sealands Grove, but a 305s as a support division at, like, you know, our other tracks. Is. None of the 358 tracks are doing any good with car count. Lincoln's doing okay. They're the best, but... you know, the Grove's way down 358 car counts. Trailways is way down 358 car counts. You know, I mean, it's just, but, you know, it's also the economy. I mean, the economy's, you know, is gotten no better in 8 years, really. I mean, it's kind of stagnant, and that's the classes that take the hit.
Lance, final question for you. Once we get past Speed Weeks and even the Outlaw shows that are coming up at Lincoln and Williams Grove in the middle of the summertime, do you have an idea as to what the remainder of the season is going to be for you and the Dietz Motorsports team?
It looks like it mainly, mostly all local stuff. You know, we'll be at the Dream Race and, you know, just all of our local stuff the rest of the year. We tend to plan on going to Laramville for the Outlaw shows, a race I really love racing at, a racetrack that, you know, I really enjoy. And, but I don't know, it'll just be mainly local stuff, you know. We'll probably run about all the races that's left the rest of the year by the looks of it. You know, as far as we don't hurt no motors and, you know, we stay on top of things. But, you know, we hurt a motor or so, then we might have to take a weekend or two off, and we'll do that. You know, I mean, we're trying to build and try to get better and, you know, try to get, you know, about a year under our belts and then have a whole full rental winter to get organized and try to start in August and, you know, start preparing for the following year. You know, that's what a lot of people don't realize, that to do all this right, you start in August for the following year of trying to get a game plan together, what you want to do, what cars you need to order. And, you know, hopefully by that time you kind of got stuff coming and know what you need to do.
So no big travel plans then for the season?
No, not right now. We got Charlotte in our mind right now for the end of the year. But right now, that's about it. Right now, we're not. I just don't feel we're ready still yet. I don't have a car ready for long. We take a little bit different car to go out there from what we run locally to be a little better. So we just don't have one of those cars and together. And, you know, it's just too late to be that ready.
Lance, as always, we appreciate your candidness, and we appreciate your time to join us here on the Sprint Car Show, and best of luck for a continued success and safe season for you and the Dietz Motorsports team here in 2014.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the show, and I always enjoy it, and yeah, I hope the fans come out and support Speed Week. It's always been a great deal for everybody involved.
Lance DeWeese out of Fayetteville joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and come back with more right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, it is winter time in Australia, and what better time to catch up and find out what's happening with the World Series of Sprint Cars. And we bring back the World Series of Sprint Cars race director from South Australia headquarters, Shane Collins. Shane, great talking with you. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Hi, Sean. Good to speak to you.
Well, you guys have been pretty busy here in the off season, wrapping up the 2013-2014 season, Steve Lyons picking up the championship. Just give us a quick summary of how things went for you folks last year.
Yeah, sure. Well, it was another exciting series. We finished it in February in Perth again at the grand final at the Perth Motorplex, and the series actually come down to the wire. It was the last event was the championship deciding race, and Stephen Lyons basically had to, after the first night's racing, he had to make the A main on night two to win the championship, and he did that. So it was good. It was a really good event. The championships changed a lot during the series. We had Luke Dillon leading it for a while, and James McFadden surprisingly never really got to the pointy end. He was always sort of third and fourth in the series, and Brooke Tatnall had a very strong year, and he was always around the podium positions. But you know, generally Stephen Lyons had had a lot of control over those guys, which Stephen's always shown a lot of potential. But he just consistently finished near the top, and getting towards the end of the year, he got a couple of good results, and that brought him home the championship. But it was really exciting. We had great crowd numbers. Our car counts were up. The series gathered a lot more momentum. We had, you know, a lot of overseas visitors again. Brad Sweet come and joined us for a few shows. Tim Kading come at the end of the year. You know, a lot of guys come and raced with us, which was cool. We had Jason Myers at a couple of the rounds. And, and the Australian contingent really served it up. And we've got a new breed of young talent in this country that are they're quite exciting. So it was all in all really good for sprint car racing in Australia.
And when you look at that combination of Shane Crickey and Brooke Tatnall, that's really hard to beat. And as you mentioned, James McFadden, who was a guest on our show last week, James just had some issues there in qualifying that sort of kept him out of that championship tier. But he's already won a race here in the States. And the young talent that's coming up, I guess that's got to be a bright spot right now, Shane, to see some of the young talent that you guys do have and what that's going to mean for the future of World Series of Sprint Cars.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're 100% right. Shane Crickey's race team with Brooke Tatnall is, you know, undeniably one of the most successful teams in this country in many, many years. But it's super hard now. And you know, James, who's won the last two World Series championship, you know, people thought that he would just sort of stroll through and continue with his momentum. But, you know, there's some guys in this country now that really did serve it up to him. And another young lad who's just actually landed over there, Jamie Veal. Jamie ran World Series last year as a contractor driver. And, you know, Jamie won a couple of rounds and really come on strong towards the end of the year. And, you know, Luke Dillon, driving out of the WA team, Diamond Bay Motorsport. Luke, for the first time, didn't drive his family car. He drove for another team. And, you know, I think they won 7 quick times out of our 15 rounds. They just had a lot of outright speed. And, you know, the series was really good, and we unearthed some more young talent. But, Brooke's always the grandfather of it all. And it's the common joke with Brooke and Shane, but they're super competitive, as I'm sure you know, with Brooke. And it's always been good. And, you know, this year, like I say, you just couldn't pick a winner. It come down to the wire, and there was 4 or 5 teams really vying for it. So it was, you know, it's good for the sport. And there's a lot of, you know, going forward into this year, we've got a lot of young talent around this country now wanting to get on board and get in this national series. So all goes well for the future.
And speaking of that, I saw recently where the nominations came to a close for the upcoming season. Tell us a little bit about that process, since it's so different from here in the States, and what was the response for the 2014-2015 World Series sprint car season?
Yeah, for sure. We've not too dissimilar, so I'm sure how you got it there. We've got a lot of local state-based races that that race in their home state. And then obviously when we do the National Series, we contract 12 to 15 teams to the National Series, and we travel them around to take on the state-based races when we get to their venues. So basically what we do is we call for an expressions of interest from any teams around Australia that may want to join us and be a contracted team. Last year we had 11 contracted teams. We normally have about the 12 mark. This year we put the expressions of interest out, and we had 26 teams express interest to want a contract, which is fantastic. So we're just working through them at the moment, and we will probably have 15 contracts to start, and then just see how that pans out, and probably happy to take anywhere between 12 and 15 contracted drivers on this National Series. And that gives the local guys an opportunity to still obviously race with us, make the feature, and you know, serve it up to the traveling party.
How do you decide then who is the final 15, and as you go from year to year, if a team isn't selected this year, do they have a chance then again next year to look at the expression of interest?
Yeah, for sure. We've actually got an automatic qualification in which if you finished in the top eight in World Series Championship last year, you automatically get an offer of a contract for the next year. So seven of the eight teams that finished in that situation this year have taken up that offer. And then from that, out of the expressions of interest teams, we generally go through guys that may have either come and raced with us, travelled a bit with us. We need to be confident that the teams can do the, you know, 3 months of travel on the road and get from one side of Australia to the other, and they've got the backing and all that. So generally, there's a couple of teams that last year didn't get contracts, but, you know, a young team out of WA, once again, a young lad, Daniel Harding, they hit the road and did every round of World Series last year as non-contracted. But, you know, this year he will get offered a contract because he has shown that they can do it. They're very marketable, young, talented competitor. So, you know, we give people the opportunity to just build up that bit of rapport so we can confidently put them in there knowing that they're capable of being able to fulfill the series.
You mentioned before the car counts were very good for you this year. In a ballpark figure, what type of car counts were you averaging per round?
Yeah, and the average, we averaged about 33 per round. Our maximum we had was 48, which was at Avalon. We actually had 55 cars nominated for Warrnambool on January 1, but unfortunately lost that due to rain, which was the first time in many years we've lost a night of Speed Week. But that car count there was going to be our highest for the year, which was 55. So, yeah, our highest was 48, but we averaged 33. And the smallest car count we had a round in Lismore in New South Wales, which is country New South Wales, and we had 22 cars at that event. So that was our lowest car count. So, you know, we were happy with that. That's about where we need to be. You know, that number keeps increasing. That average car count keeps increasing every year, which I think, you know, all goes well for the support for the series itself.
And, Shane, what are you looking at in terms of 2014-2015, the terms of the rounds and the schedule for the upcoming season?
Yeah, we're just working on that at the moment. There's obviously, as you may have heard, there's been a management change with one of our biggest venues here in the country, Sydney Speedway, Parramatta. The management change has happened there only in the last week. So we've been discussing with the previous management and with maybe the prospective new management over the last few months, but couldn't really get any answers. So we're now sitting around with them trying to sort out a return for World Series sprint cars back into Sydney. But aside from that, the series is going to be very similar. So we start on Speed Week on Boxing Day, December 26 again, through South Australia and Victoria. And then we head up to Queensland, up to the Sunshine State up there, and we do a couple of rounds up there, and the big Australian Open is run up there that Donny Schatz has won the last few years, so that's part of World Series again. And then we hope to bring Sydney back into the market at that same time of year. And then we swing back down, pass through South Australia, and we finish in WA again in February. So the Australian Sprint Car title is actually in WA in February as well. So the timing of that and the World Series Grand Final all at the same time of the year works well for everyone.
It's funny, Shane, I was just going to ask you about Barry Waldron, the owner of East Coast Pipeline, longtime sponsor in Sprint Cars, and now the new owner of the Sydney Speedway there, as they say, the Speedway by the Highway. So
yeah,
that was my next question, if you guys are going to go back to Sydney. So right now you're going to sort of take a look-and-see type deal to whether or not it's going to be on the schedule for either this year or potentially for the following year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're now talking to Barry and obviously Steve Green, who's going back in there to manage the place. We've been in constant dialogue with those guys, and you know, we're 100% committed to try and get World Series back into Sydney, and they're very supportive of wanting to make it happen. We also want to be careful. They run a very big international series at that time of year, so you know, we've got to work hand in hand to make sure that we can bring, you know, a lot more positives with World Series and to what they're doing. If we can join hand in hand and make it bigger, well, that's going to be great for everyone. So I'm confident that can happen. It's just a matter of continuing negotiations, and we hope to have an answer of that in the next week or two. I'm actually going to Sydney next week to meet up with Steve, and we'll certainly be talking about that and hopefully signing it off.
They ought to call that international series over there at Sydney the Donnie Schatz Invitational.
Yeah, well, Donnie actually goes to Brisbane now. So last year in Sydney, it was the Kinzers. So yeah, the Kinzer boys and all that were there. And Donnie goes to Brisbane and just wins every year. He takes every dollar out of Queensland he can. So yeah, but it's really the international side of it on that part of the country is big through January. And it's good that we can mix World Series shows in that while they're there. So.
Yeah, there's been a few $50,000 purses that have left the building in his pockets over the years.
Yeah, you're right. Donnie did have a mortgage on those events.
Yes, he did. Steve, Shane, speaking of money, I want to get your thoughts. The current economy in Australia, I know over here we're pushing and flirting with $4 a gallon for diesel fuel, what you folks would call petrol, and I apologize to my Australian counterparts. I was horrendous in metrics, so I can't convert to liters and figure out how much it costs. But what about the economy, the gas prices? How is that affecting overall racing in Australia at this time?
Yeah, we've been there. And once again, I'll just put my governing body hat on here. We've actually been quite surprised. Our numbers of license numbers and competitors is still actually increasing. That's not saying that there's not pain out there. There's certainly portions of this country that are feeling a bit of effect of the economy. Obviously, we're quite a big mining country, and you know, some pockets of the mining sector is having hard times, which affects the economy in certain areas. But then there's some others that are really prospering and going well. So you know, they seem to pick up what the others are actually falling over with. So. Look, our numbers have been okay. The competitor numbers seem to be stable and or if not increasing. So, you know, I don't think we've been hit as hard as probably what you guys have got over there. I mean, our, you know, things like our petrol prices and that, you know, they have increased slightly, but they've been fairly stable. We're not copping it too bad, it's fair to say, at the moment.
No, but we're up to $3.67 a gallon. And with our the one nice thing about Pennsylvania Sprint Car Speed Week coming up here in the next week, it's not that far between tracks, as Lance DeWeese just told fans a little while ago. His longest tow is 2.5 hours to Grandview.
Yeah.
And I know you folks would love to have that problem.
Yeah.
Our diesel prices
here, I mean, you're generally looking, depending where you are, if you're metropolitan, it's sort of, you know, anywhere from $1.60 to $1.80 per litre, or sometimes it's up around the $2 mark if you're in the country. That's per litre, mind you, not per gallon. And as you said, I can't transfer that back to your scale either. But you know, and we have, between rounds for us, if we're going to Adelaide to Perth, I mean, that's, you know, it's basically 36, 40 hours in the truck to get between those two rounds. So, you know, there's big drives for teams to have. So, you know, it is an issue that we continue to look at. But, you know, I would suggest that we're not in as critical situation as probably, unfortunately, other parts of the world may be.
That's a number of hours to consume quite a bit of Vegemite sandwiches, I would assume.
Yes. It's quite a long drive, and, you know, I think there's a section of road that goes for about 200 and, 240-something kilometres, and there's not a turn on it. It's just a straight road. So it's not that exciting out there, and you just got to dodge the kangaroos and keep your eyes open, and that's all there is to it.
Shane, as always, we thank you for taking time out of your day here. It's afternoon when we're talking to you there in South Australia to join us here on the Sprint Car Show and bring us up to date with what's happening with the World Series of Sprint Cars. And again, the 2014-2015 season will kick off on Boxing Day, which is December 26th. And ironically, by the time some of the fans listen to the podcast, it'll be 6 months away already. So the 2014 calendar season is going along quite rapidly. Again, all the best of luck for a safe and prosperous season. And we look forward to talking to you again in the near future as we get closer to the drop of the green flag on December the 26th.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much, Sean. It's great to speak to you again. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity of meeting you one day. You need to get over here and see how we do it, and that'll be way cool. So, but thank you again for your support, mate. We really look forward to a big year, and no doubt we'll speak with you again soon.
No worries. We'll keep doing the support, and the Carlton fans out there know we, despite the bad year we're having, we're still supporting our boys in blue over here on the East Coast of the U.S., so we'll come through with a victory one of these days, but we won't talk about what happened in Brisbane. That just was not pretty. So. But no, looking forward to getting over there and looking forward to taking in a number of the rounds and meeting everybody in person here in the near future. Shane Collins, the race director for the World Series of Sprint Cars, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and come back with more of our show right after this. With 30 years experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103 or visit kinzerdirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters. Made in the USA. Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show. Special thanks to our guests, Fred Raymer, Shane Collins, and Lance DeWeese for joining us here on this week's broadcast. A reminder, beginning on Friday and going all the way through to July 6th, the finale for PA Speed Weeks, we'll have some great coverage for you, both with video interviews and audio podcasts, special editions of the Sprint Car Show throughout the week right here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. So tell your friends to be sure to tune in to the website every day for the latest happenings from Speed Week, and be sure to like us, the Sprint Car Show, on our Facebook page, along with the Dirt Track Channel. Today's broadcast has been brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. For all of us here at the Dirt Track Channel, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.